a landscape that's favored Toms young and old, more history offered Sunday by Tom Kim, the 24-year-old putting a Sunday 64 on the scorecard and a notable title into the trophy case. Tom Kim is your winner at the Scottish Open. And with that, we say hello and welcome to our CBS studios. He's Shane Bacon, I'm Joe Musso, and this is Scorecard presented by Lincoln Financial. All season long, we've had you covered on Paramount Plus, but Bacon, they're calling for the big lefty on the big network today.
They're letting us do this with like everybody watching, which is pretty exciting. Obviously, an opportunity after these big golf tournaments with CBS to wrap up some of the events, talk about it, get a little silly later in the show as we tend to do, but an opportunity basically just to talk about golf the moment that last putt goes in.
We're going to have a whole lot of fun over this next hour. You're going to have fun with us, and that we promise, but we got to start with the moment that belongs to Tom Kim, more than 1,000 days removed from his last win on tour, victorious here at Renaissance.
I was kind of thinking about the journey of Tom Kim. You know, he's the first winner on the PGA Tour that was born in the 2000s. Did that back in 2022. We talked so much about that next up level of player, and it felt for a long time like that was going to be Tom Kim, but been in such a slump the last couple of years. One top 10 last year, and you kind of look at the biggest events with Tom Kim and where he struggled. Shot 79 in the final round of the Masters last year, 75-75 on the weekend at the PGA. Didn't break par all 4 days at Oakmont. 76 that second round of the Open to miss the cut. Those are the biggest events in 2025. He had real no big status this season on the PGA Tour. It was that U.S. Open qualifier for me with Tom Kim. You get through it. We don't get a lot of victories in professional golf. He gets that quote-unquote win to get into the U.S. Open. Obviously, turns that into a great performance at Shinnecock Hills and now rolling that into a victory.
Yeah, he's really clawed his way out of the depths. Tom Kim, your winner at the Renaissance Club. We're going to take you out there right now where the lead analyst of golf on CBS, Trevor Immelman, joins us from the Super Tower. Trev, a great moment here for Tom Kim. And I guess the story is sometimes you have to study abroad in your early 20s to find yourself. What did Tom Kim find in Scotland today?
Well, he found a place that he is utterly in love with, and he has been from, you know, when we first met him a few years ago and he had no status. He just referenced it in his interview with Amanda. He came here to the Scottish Open and had a brilliant performance. All of a sudden, shortly after that, he's on a President's Cup team and his career really, really took off. But the last 18 months or so, he's been in a little bit of a funk, and he's had to go back to the drawing board, find out, you know, a little bit about himself, what his strengths and weaknesses are. And for me, he did that brilliantly. He went back to accuracy, precision, not chasing distance so much. And he put on an absolute clinic today. I mean, you think about the long iron shots that he hit on the second nine, the four irons into 10 and 16. And then converting those putts. I mean, it was a brilliant bogey-free 64 from him today. He went out and took this Open, this Scottish Open. And, you know, as a friend of his, I'm very, very proud of him.
Trevor, you think about the modern athlete. I mean, you think about the NBA and everybody's taller. You think about football, everybody's big and strong. It feels like on the PGA Tour, you walk up and down the range. Everybody's 6'3", 6'4" now. That was not the case 10, 15, 20 years ago. For Tom Kim, who's not the longest and not the most powerful guy in professional golf, how much does everything else have to be clicked in for him to have a chance to contend and win big events?
Yeah, look, sure. I mean, we've seen, as you say, Shane, as these guys have gotten bigger out here playing golf, the equipment has absolutely helped them really take big cuts at it with the driver heads getting bigger and the ball starting to go farther and farther. But you know, you've got to be careful not to fall in that trap. You have to stay authentic. You have to stay true to yourself. And you've got to play to your strengths. And you think back to players like Luke Donald, who got to world number one. He wasn't the longest hitter either, but he was so brilliant with distance control, with wedges, with chipping and pitching and putting. And to me, that is the mold that Tom Kim is in. So he shouldn't waste time going down rabbit holes trying to chase distance. Stick to that. And the weeks when you're on, you're going to be tough to beat, just like this. I mean, look at the strength of field that he beat here this week. This is going to give him a ton of confidence moving forward. And after such a bad 2025, now with this win and the great performance at the US Open, he's right around that top 30 mark in the FedEx Cup standings. And so now the playoffs and the Tour Championship and all these kinds of things, along with the President's Cup, and representing the international team again, start to fall in place for him.
I'm really happy you frame it that way, Trevor, because I'm not saying throw away the track man, but this stretch of golf, links golf, is there something about this style of play that gets you out of your head and back into your game in a way we saw Tom Kim here on Sunday?
Yeah, Moose, I think that is a brilliant point that you bring up. I mean, it is such an enjoyable style of golf because really, in a certain sense, you feel like in many cases you can use any club in your bag for any shot. It's about imagination. It's about feeling what the velocity of the wind is, how far the ball is going to travel when all of a sudden it gets cold or when the sun comes out and the ball starts traveling further. So you really need to have great feel and great imagination, and then you've got to have trust on top of that. So in a lot of ways, you can throw the yardage book out of the window and you can play by feel. So for a guy like Tom, you know, that plays into his hands. Just so impressive. I mean, the last 51 holes, just one bogey. You think back to the conditions we had yesterday and then the breeze that was up today. He really went out and won this thing this weekend. Just so impressive.
Trevor, you think about framing PGA Tour seasons. Obviously, last year, the season kind of belonged to Rory McIlroy winning the first time at Augusta, completing the career Grand Slam. I was thinking about this season as I was driving into the studio, and you have the Gary Woodland story and Anthony Kim. But as of late, I mean, we've had Wyndham Clark kind of come out of the doldrums, if you will, of professional golf. Victor Hovland finding form as of late, and now Tom Kim. I'd say if the superstars have dominated professional golf the last, let's say, 2-3 years, it feels like this season has been one of comeback stories with our winners.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, also when you look at the guys that have won the most on the PGA Tour this year, you're thinking about Matt Fitzpatrick and Chris Goddard. They've both won 3 times. You know, if we were doing this show in January and you guys asked me that question, who's going to win the most times on tour, I probably wouldn't have given you those two names. So you bring up a good point right there of guys that are and I don't mean this in a negative way, but guys that are a bit more on the fringes, really stepping up and playing some brilliant golf in 2026 so far.
I'm told that our guy Trevor has some good G out in front of him as well, as they have a good time abroad as well.
So they'll be having Thai lunches, I'm assuming, for Trevor Immelman upcoming.
Trev, we appreciate you stopping by here on Scorecard. We appreciate your time always, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we're going to take a quick turn from one corner of the Renaissance Club to another, where the star of Scorecard, dare I say, joins us now, Johnson Wagner. Back in the mix, we got a shot recreation coming up, that we promise. But first, some thoughts here from what Tom Kim accomplished. I know you were walking with a couple other groups, but just to sort of take in this moment and this accomplishment for Tom Kim, what does it mean in your eyes?
Well, I mean, thinking where he was a little over a year ago, or actually just about 3 months ago, I know Trevor mentioned the turning point being that U.S. Open qualifier getting into Shinnecock, but it's Tom Kim in President's Cups and in his 3 wins on the PGA Tour has been a polarizing figure. People get behind him, people cheer for him. It's refreshing when you watch somebody play with that kind of emotion that he does. And I'll give you a little nugget, guys. Just 2 months ago, he switched back to a blade-style putter that he won his first tournament with in 2022, that Wyndham Championship. I don't know if Trevor mentioned it. I couldn't hear him. But it's amazing what putting a trusty friend back in does for you. And I know you guys talked about it at the top of the show, but Tom Kim, when he won as a teenager, the sky was the limits. And I think now we're seeing him grow into becoming a little bit more of a mature player, and to win on a golf course like this with the different conditions we had all week. Tuesday, guys were wearing knit hats on the range. The wind was blowing 30, 40 miles an hour. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it was hot, not much wind. Yesterday, with the fog that rolled in. And then today, typical Scottish cool day with a little breeze. He just played great under many different conditions. And I think hopefully we'll start seeing Tom Kim be that consistent player that we want.
I think our pal Patrick McDonald says that's ethical hooping. The blade putter win here for Tom Kim. He's always looking for that. It is a small percentage of the tour right now that's doing it that way. I'm glad that Wags brings up the age of it all, because it feels like we've been watching Tom Kim for the better part of a decade, because we have. Still only 24 years old and a young 24, a June birthday, Shane. For him to have experienced the highs and lows of his career already in the way that he has, How does that serve him as he moves forward to try and use this as momentum?
Yeah, I mean, I think every professional golfer goes through moments like this where the game goes away for a year, 2 years. I mean, you think about the best golfers in the world historically, all have had slumps. The fact that you can feel out what a slump feels like and maybe going into some stuff that works your way out of it, I think is extremely helpful. I mean, going back to a putter, obviously, that you're comfortable with and you can kind of lean on. We've seen players try that over the course of the history of this game. But, you know, I think when you're Tom Kim, the experience you've had over the last year, I mean, you don't want to be kind of that fringe player. You don't want to be the guy known as the TGL superstar. You want to be known as one of the best in the world, and getting an opportunity to go out there and the win the way he did, I mean, it was so impressive. He failed to get up and down one time all week, and that was the first hole on Thursday. I mean, you think about the scrambling and just playing golf. I mean, I love what you asked Trevor Moose about, you know, kind of putting the track man away. You think about Victor Hovland as well.
You call that brilliant.
Yeah. You said it was a brilliant
question. I might just Costanza, just leave right there.
That's incredible. That's, I mean, and how about this? I mean, you think about the hardest holes on the golf course, the two hardest holes on the golf course, he birdied both of them. Birdie's the 10th on Sunday. Only two players made birdie there all day. Birdie's 16, which was one of the hardest holes as well. I mean, these two holes play so difficult. And Wags, you think about Tom Kim. Again, you think about distance and length and being able to kind of dominate certain golf holes. The fact that he goes out there and birdies 10 and 16, you were out there, you know how hard those two holes played.
10 straight back into the wind. You've got to thread the needle if you're going to hit driver. And then 16 also back into the wind. The bunker was about 295 yards in the middle to carry, and he threaded it down the right side and left himself the right angle. Played that beautiful shot in there. I can't remember how many birdies were made on 16, but I think he had the closest shot all day into that back left pin. I saw Rory McIlroy earlier make an absolute mess of that hole, making a five. And then in my second group today, Wyndham Clark made a double on that hole. So there were scores to be had. And that's where Tom Kim really separated himself from the rest of the field, was there on that 16th hole.
Yeah, five birdies on 16 all day. So Wags, what you're telling me is you met up with a group, and then the moment you got to the group, they started making big numbers. Is that what you're saying?
Refrigerator Wagner was back in full effect today. I joined Rory McIlroy on 15, actually on 14 green, and he proceeded to three putt for par. And then he bogeyed 16, birdied 17. So I just kind of cooled him off to a nice even par. And then switching to Johnny Kiefer, I cooled him off as well.
Gosh.
Just a nice even par.
Leave the rookies alone.
This is going into the pantheon, because he takes the refrigerator through customs and he puts it on Rory McIlroy, who
in a way, you got to get the new outlet.
He renounced himself as a professional golfer after Johnson Wagner arrived. It's been quite a season for Wags, who's back at it here abroad. And we know you got some great golf coming up this week, Wags. We know you also have some great golf coming up here on Scorecard. We got a fun one coming as Johnson Wagner takes us back to Thursday.
Stretching.
And one of the top shots we saw all week. This is Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial.
Listen, that body didn't warm itself up.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back on Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial, it's time now for the Action Plan, presented by Lincoln Financial, Joe Musso, Shane Bacon, and it's going to be Johnson Wagner in action. But first, young Tom Kim, your winner at the Scottish, as he pours in a putt at the last, an all-important one with Minwoo Lee standing in the 72nd fairway, this to save par, a blemish-free 64 on Sunday for Tom Kim as he collects his fourth career victory on tour. All the emotions and all the action belonging to Tom Kim. All right, back with the fellas, and a big part of Scorecard, fellas, is we like to put Johnson Wagner in action. We've got him in a pot bunker on 9, a spot where we saw a special shot on Thursday. It was Rory McIlroy, if we could take a look here, said he thought it was gone, caught it a little thin. So we're gonna ask Wags to rip the cover off this golf ball as well and try and spin one back, Wags. It's great to have you in a spot of bother always. Take us through your point of view right now.
So down here in this pot bunker at the ninth, really, really deep bunkers here at the Renaissance Club. Some of the deepest revetted face bunkers I've seen, especially in the fairway bunkers. But here around the green on the ninth, it's virtually just straight up. It's a wall. There's no angle to it whatsoever. Now, Rory's shot on Friday was played to a middle right hole location, and it was a little bit into the wind. It was about four paces from the right edge, and I couldn't believe how much spin he got out on it. I'm glad you said he said that it was a little thin. Mm-hmm. Now, today's hole location's a little bit deeper. It's up on that back right-hand side, so it's a little bit longer, but I'm downwind, and we're gonna try to get in here and play this shot. Now, anybody that's ever come over and played golf in Scotland, Ireland, England, you know the sand is just a little bit different. That's what makes links golf so great, is that these courses are built on sandy soil. So when they dig these bunkers, they don't have to do much. It's pretty much bottomless sand. So it takes a little bit getting used to. You want to have a lot of bounce coming out of these bunkers, so that way the club exits the sand quickly. Otherwise, you'll just dig right in. Now, I've got a 56 degree. This is about a 45 yard bunker shot, and we'll see what we're gonna do here. Now, to get that kind of spin on it, like Rory said, you got to hit it a little clean. But I've got this wedge laid wide open. I didn't get spin on it, but that may be good.
I mean, that's traditional, Wags. I mean, that's what you do when you're playing tomorrow. That's what you're gonna do.
That's what Rory was trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to spin it, but that's what my old coach Bobby Hines told me. He said a perfect bunker shot, you try to hit it great. If you miss it a little bit heavy, it turns out to a bump and run. If you catch it a little bit clean, it flies like Rory's did and spun. So you want me to try to catch one a little cleaner and put some spin on it?
Yeah, you got another ball?
What you're saying there, Shane?
Yeah, let's go.
And Wags, while you're working, I couldn't help but hear you getting less and less comfortable as you address that ball. And that's not specific or unique to your experience in these sorts of bunkers. Thinking up the shot is one thing, but then you kind of find yourself in a new depth of that greenside bunker. What is the emotional approach to bunker play in this part of the world?
Well, you want to be away from the faces. I've had some situations where I've been up under the lip and have to play out sideways. One time at the Open Championship at Muirfield, I actually had to hit a putter away from the lip twice just to be able to get it out to where I could get it on the green. Fortunately, I've only been in one bunker. I've played three rounds since I've been here, so I don't have much practice. I've been missing the bunkers left and right. I haven't been hitting greens.
Here's the announcer's curse.
More errant than the bunkers allow.
All right, closer to the ball, Wags. Come on now. Let's get more spin.
Here's one. So I'm going to try to get this a little bit closer and get some spin. But the thing is, if you catch it clean, you really run the risk of catching the top of this lip and then giving yourself the same shot, which I know that's what you two want. Oh, well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That was closer to the ball.
It was closer to the ball, and I don't know if there's a mark, but that was hit right here on the heel. There is not a single cameraman in the world that would have been able to ball follow that shot. That was a proper, as they say, that was a proper shank right there, Shane.
That is El Hozel, that is one that translates to any land. Wags, we appreciate you playing along here. Before we let you go, just a final thought as we do look forward to Birkdale and all of the bunker play that these players are going to face. Strategically, you said something important there. It's about assuming risk. On a scale of as safe as you could play it to the risk you have to assume. You don't want to put yourself in these sorts of situations, but is there sort of a going line by these players to just take your medicine and make it back somewhere else?
Well, I think the best thing ever was Tiger Woods in 06 at Hoylake in the Open Championship. He laid back of all the bunkers. He was hitting irons off a ton of tees because these bunkers over here in Lynx Golf, you can turn a pretty easy hole into a double bogey like that with one mistake. So Lynx Golf as a whole, you try to avoid bunkers at all costs because they're basically one-shot penalties, especially those fairway bunkers. Birkdale's got a lot of them. They've also, down at Royal Birkdale, they have a ton of dunes, which I think is going to be a more defining feature too. Remember Jordan Spieth back in 17 mm-hmm. when he was playing out of the dunes. So I think that's more of the feature of Birkdale.
108 total, by the way, at Birkdale. in terms of the bunkering. None deep, though. It's very interesting. A lot of them, like, in front of the green, short, but you're not going to see a lot kind of over the greens.
Play to the tour truck, I think, is the strategy.
Hit it as close to the range as possible.
Out there on Brookdale. We're going to get Wags in a more comfortable spot than in the pit of despair there. We thank you, as always, for putting it on tape for us, Wags. It's Tom Kim putting it on wax in Scotland. We got full highlights from your final round coming up next on Scorecard. Back up on Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial, Joe Musso and Shane Bacon, and it's a Scorecard tradition. You weigh it. You got to weigh the shot sheet, Shane.
Pretty good one. Yeah. Decent amount of sheets. I feel like Rory's going to be involved. I'm assuming we'll see some Tom Kim, probably some Minwoo as well.
You know how it ends. Let's show you how we got there. Yeah, highlights from the final round at the Renaissance Club on CBS. It was a marathon day of sorts to start, Shane, as fog cut us short on Saturday. Bobby Mack, Minwoo Lee, Matt Fitzpatrick, all tied atop the leaderboard with 18 to play. And we start with Roars, who was 3 over in round 3, much to the effect of that foggy mist that rolled in later in the day.
Felt like the fog rolled in, and he's like, all right, I'm out of here. I want to play in nice weather. His schedule's been limited this year. Mm-hmm. Spent a little more time with family. When he's popped up, we've seen some pretty solid golf out of Rory. The one thing is, he just can't avoid that bad round. You mentioned the bad third round, kind of been the theme of Rory's season.
He did find a gear here to start his final round, a 4-under 31 on the way out, right back into the mix. Got as close to one shot back of a lead, but it's a day that would ultimately belong to young Tom Kim. And
when does that go away? What age?
He's 24.
Is that 29 or 30? We go lose young.
27. We gotta grow up a little bit.
Fair.
But young Tom Morris is still young Tom Morris. You know, he's accomplishing these things.
That's a good point.
In his youth, still.
He's a teenager when he was winning the Open back in the day.
Matt Fitzpatrick trying to catch the vapors off the Three Lions.
Let me tell you one thing. There was a time in our day when it was young Matt Fitzpatrick. He was young.
That it was. Fitzy looked like he had bad intentions and another trophy. Would have been his fourth of the season.
Crazy, the fact that he has turned it around. I mean, we talk so much about these players that struggled over the last couple of years. Fitzy was lost until about the summer of last year. Really, the PGA Championship last year found form. Since then, he's been playing excellent golf.
The chef was cooking as well. Minwoo entering the chat. We get back to Rory McIlroy, moving to 12 under par. Unfortunately, that's where he would finish. A 6 under 64, fall short of his second career Scottish Open. More to come here. Thoughts on Rory McIlroy in just a bit. Back to Tom Kim at the par 4 10th, 14 under after a birdie at number 7, a one-shot lead, and he wants more of it, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, second hardest hole on the golf course, just two birdies all day, of course, one of them belonging to our leader. And this really the part of the game that is flipped for Tom Kim. You think about the putting, it's the iron play. When he was playing great golf 2-3 years ago, the iron play was top 15, top 20 on the PGA Tour. That has dipped massively, and he's starting to find it again with the iron.
The birdie bid there gets him to 16 under, takes a three-shot advantage.
And the collar's still messed up, though.
Don't get me started on the is that on the caddy?
Just fix the collar!
Is that on the outfitter? We got to get it tucked back.
Was this McIntyre with the driver off the deck?
I demanded this one be a part of the highlight. Bobby Mack didn't play his best golf in the throes of this tournament, but found an eagle here, and it was from 300-plus, driver off the deck. Another revolution or two, and he's down there next to the cup. He says, don't worry about it. Pours it in from distance. Bobby Mack continues to play well in his backyard.
I mean, nice to have a good finish before the Open. Obviously, with your Robert McIntyre, I mean, the Scottish Open has always been a big event for you, but all these European players are trying to circle that Open Championship with an opportunity. The fact that he tends to be trending in that direction coming off a golf course he loves is great. Much like this, it feels like everybody on top of this board has played well around the Renaissance Club before. Minwoo Lee, obviously one of those players.
Yeah, a winner here the year prior to this becoming a co-sanctioned event. So not a winner on the PGA Tour, instead a winner on the European Tour at the Renaissance Club. I had the Oakleys ready, but this is the one that put the Oakleys away. I like to put the Oakleys on when Minwoo's in the mix.
While you're watching?
This was
okay. That was what, 203 in for Tom?
203.
He said shot of the day.
Trevor pointed to the long iron play, and that the perfect example of it.
Yeah, I was looking at proximity to the hole. He's kind of middling this season on the PGA Tour. Of course, not the longest guy out there. Going to have a lot of irons from that level of distance. And again, two birdies on 10 all day, five at 16. And then, you know, at 18, you talk about having to get it up and down once again. The scrambling numbers incredible this week, nearly perfect.
Yeah, it wasn't open and shut. Kim misses this, and Minwoo's looking at birdie for a playoff, but he pours it right in and forces Minwoo Lee's hand, a hand that would not be played. Tom Kim at 17 under, your winner of the 2026 Genesis Scottish Open, his fourth career win on the PGA Tour, first in over 1,000 days. It was the 2023 Shriners. And Tom Kim once again at the top of the world of golf, at least for a week, as he tries to take this momentum to Birkdale.
Tom, you said earlier this week that you love links golf because it requires acceptance, it requires patience, and it requires to understand that the game isn't always fair. It's your first win in almost 3 years, and I wonder how much that description encapsulates what you have gone through the last 3 years to get back into the winner's circle.
Yeah, it hasn't really, I'm trying to really wrap my mind over it, but just, I think the round today that I played really has been a lot of work. It's just really cool to not only to win, but to win this event. I had no status, and I finished third to really give myself a chance and get myself out here and to win a Genesis event too. It's really special, and I'm lost of words.
That was the first time we met you, and it was your first top 10 ever on the PGA Tour. We remember that very well. If I were to ask you what your best shot, the most impactful shot of your day today was, what was it?
It has to be on 16. Just in the moment, I gave it a little,
We were hoping you'd say that and talk us through it. 205 yards here for us.
It's just, it was nice. The wind kind of died down, and it was just a perfect number. And it was just a lot of commitment there. Just trusting kind of, that shot shape for that wind was so perfect. So.
You said at the U.S. Open that you could feel it in your fingertips, this opportunity to win. What were you feeling in your fingertips down that closing stretch?
I told myself I was hoping I wouldn't lose this one. I was really close, and I knew just mentally, physically, I felt like I was all there. And this one really, I didn't want to let it go, and I'm glad I didn't.
An incredible round today. Congratulations. You have earned this, Tom Kim.
Thank you.
Back in studio, Joe Musso and Shane Bacon. Shane, if there is a knock on Tom Kim, it's a little bit cheeky at times, and it feels like a man that's growing up and maturing in front of our eyes as well here following this win, trying to make an idea of what it means moving forward. Live in the win, because they don't come all that often. Tom Kim, your winner at the Genesis, but we want to take you down this leaderboard, so much to get to. And I think an obvious place to start is Rory McIlroy, Shane, and maybe the frustrating nature of his season has been a little bit overshadowed by the frustrating nature of Scottie Scheffler's season for our Worlds 1 and 2. And I just want to run you down life after the Masters. Last year, T12, T7, T47, T19, a T2 at the Scottish. He's having not a similar season. He is having, in many ways, the exact same season this year after saying he was recommitted to the process. Wins the Masters, you have a T19 in there, you have a T7 in there, you have a T12 in there, now you have a T7 here at the Scottish. I mean, it means he's in line for a T2 at the Open Championship. All of that to ask you, what have you made from past the Masters this year for Rory McIlroy?
I mentioned it earlier, and it's the fact that Rory right now is not playing four consistent rounds of golf. You know, the floor for Rory, you talk so much about the floor for Scottie Scheffler. The floor for this guy is typically something in the 6th, 7th range, right? When he plays poorly for one round, but you kind of go through his year at the Memorial. Second round, 74, finishes T12. The PGA Championship opens with 74, finishes T7 there. At the Truist, third round around a golf course he loves, shoots 75. T19, even at the Masters, where he won, he shot that 73 in the third round. There are just moments for Rory right now where the golf swing isn't as consistent. We saw two of the worst golf shots you will ever see from Rory. Fatted a wedge on a par 3, 45 yards short of the green. And then today he called himself a terrible golfer after an approach there at 16. I think when you're Rory, yes, it's close, mm-hmm. but I'm just not sure we're seeing enough golf from Rory to find that 4 day of consistency.
In that comparison, one fewer start than a year ago from the Masters to this point as well. We'll see what he brings to our final major of the season. If he can clip that, no doubt, two majors in a year, he's our player of the year, but the conversation broadens if he does not, or if Aaron Rye does not, or if Wyndham Clark does not. Then are we talking about one of these three-win guys or potentially four-win guys taking home that Nicklaus Award, something that will be sorted out in time. I do want to get to Minwoo Lee because he applied the most pressure here on Sunday, and that's my guy. I'm the chief.
You're all in.
I'm the Minsider.
Yeah, yeah,
I've been the Minsider since we had a moment at Valhalla. Great guy. I'm always rooting for him, and it feels like I talked about the maturation of Tom Kim in person. It feels like a maturation in play for Minwoo Lee.
I think for Minwoo Lee, it's just figuring out, you know, the speed and the distance. And I think everybody that has this level of speed and distance at some point in their career has to figure out what you do when you're not going full bore. And I think for Minwoo, a golf course like the Renaissance, where he can kind of hit driver all over the place. You think about Houston, obviously, where he's won at mm-hmm. on the PGA Tour, a very good golf course for him. I think if you're Minwoo, it's just figuring out when to be less aggressive and when to maybe take it down a notch, because he has all of the power and all of the speed that a modern player wants. And I think it's just figuring out all those other little parts. I mean, look at this off the tee this week. Incredibly impressive tee to green, incredibly impressive approach in the iron play, really good. And then he has a solid putting week and he's going to be near the top of the board. When some of those things dip away from the driver is when we see Minwoo Lee struggle.
And if we are rooting for an addition of characters to our grand narrative here
sign
in
me up
golf,
always for Minwoo Lee.
Minwoo Lee's always got something going on, as does Johnson Wagner, who rejoins the conversation. I want to backtrack one, because you did have that 40-minute period alongside Rory McIlroy throughout this day. Joking aside, what did you maybe take in the struggles and some of the success you saw over that period, Wags?
Well, I was paying attention to his entire round from the beginning of the day, and he just looked like a different guy than he did yesterday. I don't know if it was the conditions or just didn't feel right, because it was a very similar wind condition, similar temperatures yesterday, and he was a completely different golfer. I think it's going to build a lot of confidence for him going into Royal Birkdale next week. I mean, he talked to Amanda Baleonis after the round, right here where I'm sitting, and he said that, yeah, certainly nice to go shoot a 64, gives you a lot of confidence going in. I mean, Rory is going to live and die with the driver. As we know, he's not one to take the foot off the accelerator really on any golf course. So I think if he gets that driver figured out finally and can put the ball in play, he's obviously going to be a force at Royal Birkdale.
Wags, on that point with Rory, you know, you're out there walking with him. You're getting an opportunity to see kind of Rory in between shots and maybe the conversation with Harry and the fans and things like that. What's the level of engagement right now that you see from Rory as he gets set to potentially take home another major championship?
He seemed very relaxed and engaged all day that I saw him in person, just walking, talking with Harry, having chats with everybody that was around him. Maybe not so much the crowd, but he's very engaged. You know how much major championships mean to him, especially the Open Championship. I think he's going to be just fine. I know we haven't seen him play a lot of golf this year, which is a little bit concerning. Mm-hmm. And that's, I believe, why you saw a round like the third round where he goes out and lays an egg, for lack of a better term. But he's in it. He wants to win every golf tournament he tees it up in. And if it weren't for a poor stretch of nine holes yesterday in the Har, I think we may have seen Rory hoist this trophy for a second time.
I guess, in a few words, a long way from Long Island. He seems to get this sparkle back in his eye when he takes it abroad. Said he's been spending a lot of time in Wentworth, so obviously looking forward to these 4 days in front.
Which I think is interesting, because I don't think that was always the case with Rory. Mm. I think going across the pond early in his career, I think it made him a little more uncomfortable, and the pressure mounted for Rory McIlroy. I also think the game and what golf asked of him wasn't the best fit for Rory's game at the time. You think about the way he played the U.S. Opens kind of in the late 2000s, where he missed all those cuts, and he had a run at the Open Championship. But I think that has flipped a bit, where he does embrace the elements and he embraced the fact that you have to go actually play golf. You talked about taking the track man away, you know, if you're Tom Kim and just trying to hit golf shots from a time to time. I think for Rory, getting to this level of golf, playing some golf with Luke Donald and Shane Lowry for fun for a few days before the Scottish Open, I think that stuff helps Rory out so much, because he's just living it, and he's not working in it.
Developing that second serve, the wedge play getting a little bit more doubt, no longer apexing it at the moon. Who does that remind you of? A conversation for another day. We do have other names to get to here, Wags. I want to take you to Matt Fitzpatrick, because we were just having a little abridged player of the year conversation. A win here would have gone a long way, would have been a fourth, and sort of this trough between early season success and sort of restating himself later in the year. Where have you seen him pick things back up?
I just think it's with the ball striking with Matt. I mean, I think he's a streaky putter at times, but when his ball striking is on, I mean, when you think back to Valspar and his other wins, he is able to work the ball in both directions, which I think is a skill that not many players have at that elite level that Matt Fitzpatrick does. I think he's trending in the right direction going into a home major. I know he's not from that area, but he's English, and I know those guys, when you go play Hoylake, Birkdale, St. George's, I think it means a lot more, and I just think Fitz is he's ready to go. He's as tuned up as I've seen him in a long time.
They're in my backyard. Let me just read you stats-wise for Matt Fitzpatrick this year, because I think we need to hammer this home. You're talking about best player on the PGA Tour this season. Mm-hmm. 40th off the tee. I mean, that's fine if you're looking at maybe a stat down the list.
Not who he is.
On your radar.
Yeah.
Second in approach, first around the green, second tee to green, second total. Putter comes and goes, as we know, with Matt Fitzpatrick. But you think about ball striking this season. That has belonged to Scottie Scheffler over the last three, 4 years on the PGA Tour. Right now, according to the stats, this is the best ball striker in professional golf.
I'm glad you read a stat and offer Scottie, because I want to read a quote. At the end of the day, it's not like I'm out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not out here to inspire someone else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? This is not a fulfilling life.
This is like a depressing quote. Who'd that come from?
We are a year removed from that quote being offered at the Open Championship by Scottie Scheffler. We are also
he won that Open.
He did win, so maybe we're coming around the corner on Scottie here, but too much jet lag in your swing could leave you laid off in the end. Only two rounds here in Birkdale for Scottie Scheffler. First miscut in 4 years. Shane, I know you've taken some flack on the internet, as one does, about your criticisms of how far off Scottie is, because his far off is still elite play. This week, it was none of that.
I mean, listen, critiquing Scottie Scheffler is not the easiest job in the world, but it's just incremental moments, and it's little moments, and we've seen it throughout the year. It's the ball striking, it's the iron play, it's the driver disappearing for nine holes here and nine holes there. It's missing short putts like we saw the first couple of rounds, which tends to happen with Scottie Scheffler when you get to slower greens. We see him really struggle inside 4 or 5 feet. Obviously, he's the Open champion, and he's the champion golfer of the year from 2025, but he has played solid enough golf, and skill set-wise, he is a good enough player to finish in the top five and the top 10. But Scottie, as you mentioned in the quote, is a guy that literally lives and dies by winning golf tournaments. And right now, he is moving away, in my opinion, from winning or giving yourself an opportunity to win. And he's moving closer to a guy that is battling to finish in the top 10 WAGs. And I look at Scottie Scheffler next week, and obviously he could win any major championship considering the skill set. But I just don't see Scottie Scheffler in that mold right now of a guy that I think has the game to play four rounds of major championship golf and leave again with a claret jug.
I mean, there's definitely some pieces missing to his game. You highlighted it nicely there, Shane. But when you think about Scottie and his career, when he plays well in major championships, he usually has the week off before. And I think this is actually going to be a fine miscut for him. Renaissance Club, a lot of people don't consider it a true links golf course, primarily because of a lot of the undulations in the greens. There's a lot of tiers and a lot of pockets that you don't normally see. So I think for Scottie to not be out there in the elements yesterday and in the wind today and in the cold weather, to be able to go down a little bit early to Royal Birkdale to sort of prep his normal major preparation, I'm a glass half full guy. So I think this could have been the best thing that could have happened for the rest of Scottie Scheffler's season. I mean, look at his record here at Renaissance Club. It's not very good. So I think him not having to play here two more rounds, I think we're going to see that pay dividends, especially early in the week, as he's not going to have to go out there and cram. I mean, I look back to Pinehurst just two summers ago at the U.S. Open. He won at Memorial the week before on a very difficult golf course, goes into Pinehurst, walks nine holes on Monday afternoon, exhausted, just trying to learn this golf course. So I do think I'm going to take the positive side on this and say Scottie's going to be just fine defending his claret jug next week.
Shane, I will say, I've seen that glass. It's often closer to empty than half full, but we do appreciate the optimism out of WAGS as we take a little bit of a look
It was half full at some point.
Yes. Yeah. At one point, like it is a very much a 5 o'clock somewhere paradox, if we could tie that one together. Here's a look at what was going on in the world last time Scottie missed a cut. 78 starts. We did the numbers. 25 of them were no-cut events, but I digress. Shane, is this the best-worst season or the worst-best season in a couple words?
I think it's going to be his best worst season.
It's going to be his best. So there's going to be other bad seasons that would.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the nature of the game.
Listen, you go through Jack and you go through Tiger and you go through Phil and you go through Ernie, you go through the legends of the game, and they have this run of not playing great golf. I think for Scottie, he's played very good golf. He just hasn't won. And I think when you don't win golf tournaments, when you've done what you've done the last three seasons, we start to wonder what's wrong. I don't think anything's massively wrong, but I think everything's a little worse this year than it was the last couple of years. And when you start to add those things up, strokes gains are in incremental numbers, right? 0.6 shots here, 0.2 shots around guys are trying to pick up on the field for Scotty. Losing a little bit of that gives a little bit of a path for the Fitzpatricks, the Goddard-ups, the Rorys of the world.
Did come into this week leading the world in strokes gained total, but incrementally it has not added up to the victories that we saw. Maybe still great, just not dominant. And a place we will never find him, on a psycho scorecard list. Shane Bacon, it's your moment.
Come
we got a
now.
Psycho scorecard.
You're saying
here
Scotty's
on
immune? Come on.
Scotty's never going
to
be a
we,
psycho
by the way,
scorecard.
We had to dig on this. The Renaissance, I'd say, didn't offer incredible psycho scorecard opportunity. We had to go to miscut land for the players. The miscut. We got this? We got one here?
There we go.
Rosner, this is it. Rosner, yeah. I think this was the first round he missed the cut. But you see there, eagle out of the gate, had some birdies.
Two doubles does qualify.
Couple of doubles helps. Bogey's the last. Nearly the perfect psycho scorecard when you shoot even par. And I gave a shout out. I know we're going to talk LPGA in a bit. Mm-hmm. Brooke Henderson's scorecard today, I might frame it in my room. She didn't even win the tournament. That's how fun that scorecard was.
Wall space is coming at a premium. I've seen the studio covered in memorabilia. Shane Bacon, we appreciate the psycho scorecard. Johnson Wagner still got us covered abroad. We got more to come here on Scorecard presented by Lincoln Financial. When we return, we promised fun, you'll get fun. Sunday superlatives. We're barking back in a bit.
This dude's kicking it. It's World Cup time.
He's got the fever.
Wonderful strike, nice and low, but it is turning left on this wind.
Oh, my God. I'm so bad at golf.
Massive hook, and I disagree with you, Rory. That was just a bad shot.
That was a very bad shot. My goodness. A huge hook there.
You heard his voice just out of frame.
It's a very bad shot.
You know what? Wags could call my golf. It's a wonderful strike, but then it starts going left. It's like, I pured it. I think I shut the face on it a little bit there.
There, Musso. It was. It sounded perfect. It's tough at a little bit of an angle, and I think it was a good lesson for me maybe not to talk about the shot until I have a better idea of where it's going. It took a left turn in a hurry on that wind. I think he was trying to hold up a little six iron, and he didn't. It went left of left.
We stand by the strike, and it did give us our soundbite of the week. It is time now for Sunday Superlatives. That one fits right in, but we begin with your shot of the week, and that's...
It's Tommy Ladd.
It's Tommy Ladd at 6 on Sunday. You can barely see him. Man. He's in those earth tones.
We're going to talk about Open Championship in a bit.
Do it. It
feels like a little bit of a lost year for Tommy Fleetwood after the win at the end of last season. Just kind of felt like this was going to be the major year. Still one left to play, and it would be the biggest one for him if he could somehow get it done.
Tommy Jars won. They are all worth one out here, and we'll see if he can get the last one of the year. I know we had him earmarked for just about every major this year. This is the chirp of the week, Shane, and I'm going to need you to take me through it.
Yeah. So what is this guy named? What do we got? Chris Klan here?
Graham.
He said, this was Saturday afternoon.
He hey buddied you.
4:37 came at me and producer Josh from our Tuesday show chirping us about Rahm because Scotty missed the cut. I checked it at the time. John Rahm was T44. He's chirping me about a T44. Rahm finished outside the top 30 of the leaderboard. And as producer Josh said to me, this guy had nothing better to do with lovely weather across the country on Saturday.
I will just say this. We welcome your comments here on Scorecard and on the Scorecard podcast. You could find yourself on our air. Wags, I want you on this one. Our one of us moment of the week. We got some great volunteers out there just trying to find the slot. Drop it in.
Like, why do we do this?
Well, they've been out there all week watching golf, pulling lots of hours. And I mean, that quiet sign, the wind resistant is pretty much just like holding a golf club. That's pretty good action. Maybe a little too from the inside
there.
That's going to be a low hook.
It did give me a little bit of feel versus real. You know, Justin Rose is one to exaggerate that. This is none of us.
There is
of the week.
Tennis behind you guys. Turn around. What are you doing? Is this Luke Donald?
That's Luke Donald and Justin Rose also talking about finding the slot. It's a game for us all, Shane Bacon.
My wife thinks this is the nerdiest thing we do, and she doesn't get it, and she just gets on me if she ever sees me doing it. And then you're like, two of the best players the last 30 years from Europe are doing it?
Well, we got your golf as the best
this
moment
so
of the week
cool.
as well. Annie Hayes holing out in the Women's U.S. Adaptive Open. And, I mean, when I say this is a moment that you long for no matter what, and look at the reaction. That's the best part of the game.
Oh, best sport in the world, man. I mean, it's just that U.S. Adaptive Open is one of the coolest golf tournaments in the world. It's one of the coolest things the USGA has introduced really in its history. You think about, you know, dating back to the U.S. Amateur being introduced here in our country. I think about the U.S. Senior Women's at Chicago Golf years ago. The Adaptive Open is just such a great watch.
It's a great watch and a great moment there. And we turn our attention 360 to do some money moves here. You know, we're always pocket watching, Wags, and this was a near ace by Frankie Molinari to get, he was dancing around that cut line to get to the weekend. A dollar difference of $123,750, the climb he makes on the weekend.
He's been popping his name on the leaderboard a little bit more lately. It would be awesome to see him come back and, and make a run, because in his prime, when he was winning that Open Championship and on the PGA Tour, one of the best iron players around. I love watching Francesco play golf.
And you don't think about 2 years ago, U.S. Open, if you remember at Pinehurst number two, he made a hole-in-one on the ninth hole on Friday to make the cut on the number. Almost made a hole-in-one on the ninth hole on a Friday to make the cut again.
I love the if-miss-cut, $0. If you miss the cut, you got time to go get an ice cream. Even if you make the cut and you're playing elite golf, you can find yourself a cone as well. This is our tasty shot of the week. Charlie Hull. A little snack at the turn, Shane?
Listen, you
ever do ice cream on the course?
I don't know if I maybe you've had it, maybe in Scotland. Might have been the only
place. An ice cream sandwich, never a cone.
I feel like their cones are floating around in Scotland. You never know. Wags about to introduce himself to it.
What's the go-to snack for you?
On the golf course?
Yeah.
I mean, I like bananas, dried mangoes. Okay. I'm big on right now.
Are you willing to say what you said in the green room?
I will America. Take a cup of tuna all day, every day. A cup of tuna at a good golf course where it's cold?
Gotta be ice cold.
You were anti this.
No, I love a tuna salad. It's not the first thing I reach for out of the cooler. I can rate a golf course on their turkey sandwich. Wags, do you have a go-to? I always just lean turkey sandwich.
Well, if I'm eating in the locker room or the grill room or something, I used to like to sample like a junior club sandwich at every single place. But if I'm on the fly and grabbing something, pretty hard to beat a PBJ for me or a hot dog. I mean, Shane and I have different body styles. I think he likes raw, unsalted almonds on the golf course.
some cased meats. That'll get you through a bogey stretch. I've been there before. I born and raised in the Midwest. You find some great bratwurst on a golf course. That is for certain. We want to take you around the world of golf here on Sunday. Elsewhere in the game, it's a major week on the LPGA, and Heyron Yu goes back to back, Shane. Crazy. So we're looking at Nelly taking the first two, Yu taking the second two, and one major remaining on the LPGA season.
And this was the third round, right, when she didn't realize she shot 60? Was that the video?
I didn't know
where she was. It's just so crazy. There are certain pro golfers that don't know where they stand in terms of what they're shooting in that round.
Yeah.
Like, I always knew, probably to a detriment of mine. But you think about the LPGA a year ago. It was all this randomness. Nobody could win two times in a season. This year, we've seen a little bit more dominance from the best players in the world. And this has, let's be honest, been a bit of a down year in terms of the men's major championships. And I say that not with the winners, but just in terms of the excitement down the stretch. Not the case on the LPGA. Been a great year for the women's major championships.
That is for certain. We also have some golf going up in Tahoe, where we got to show you a little bit, and it's our colleague, Tony Romo, angling for a top 10 at the American Century.
Has he won this thing?
Wags, you ever get a game with Tony?
I haven't. I know Colt Nost has quite a bit, and I know he's a great player, but no, I have not played with him. But apparently, he's pretty easy money for Scotty Scheffler back there in Dallas.
It's going to be Sundays with Tony and Jim before you can say hike. We got more scorecard coming up. We'll take you home after a quick break. Back on Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial, as we fix our focus now on the final major of the year and the odds courtesy of our friends at FanDuel. The longest number you're going to find on Scottie Scheffler, 7.5 to 1 on each and every one of your dollars, if you think Scottie's got one in him. We're going to go par five style on this as we bring Johnson Wagner back into the conversation as well. Just some quick hitters before we say goodbye on the Open Championship coming up this week. Wags, fill in the blank here. The Open Championship is the blank best major.
Oof, that's such a tough question. The way I answer that is, I think the Masters is probably my favorite major I've ever of all time. But the 2013 Open Championship that I played in at Muirfield was my favorite tournament that I've ever played in. If you're gonna if you're going to force me to say, it's tied for second with the U.S. Open.
Politicking over there in Scotland. I see how you're doing over there, Wags. I'll go second. I think Masters is always going to be atop my list. Open a close second.
I co-signed that right there. Going back to you here, Wags. Blank needs to win the Open the most.
I mean, I think it's hard not to argue Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Shane's just been roasting him for a few weeks now on how terrible he is. Scottie Scheffler needs to win this major championship. I think it's the only thing that could turn his year around to be considered successful. He set this standard so high. So I think Scottie Scheffler needs it the most.
See, if our guy that like to chirp me when John Rahm finishes 36th, chirp me when I say John Rahm is
personal.
On that list. If he doesn't win this Open Championship, it'll be 14 straight majors without a win for John Rahm. I think he just needs to get himself in the conversation and just have people see his name at a big tournament.
So I'll go back to that a little bit here, Wags. Better chance to win the Open this week, Scotty or Rory in your eyes?
I think Scottie Scheffler. I think when you think about the Royal Birkdale as a whole, it's a point A to point B sort of link style course with the big dunes and the bunkers. I think Scottie Scheffler's driving accuracy surpasses Rory McIlroy's, and I think that's going to be a huge stat around Birkdale.
Rory hit a whole bunch of fairways this week, Wags. I think he was 10th in the field in terms of fairways hit. I'll go Rory. Played well here back in 2017, finished T4, playing better right now than Scottie Scheffler. I think the motivation right now for Rory is at an all-time high, trying to win a second Open Championship. I think he's trying to double up on the majors. Who you got, Moose? You think Rory or Scottie?
I'd love to see both of those in the mix. I'm going to save mine for my answer of who wins the Open Championship, not to give it away, but we are down to two. I want an idea on a third here, Wags. How the mighty have fallen. Make or miss cut for Bryson DeChambeau as he tries to avoid a grand slam the wrong way.
Miss cut for sure. This is not a good setup for him. He does not play well in high winds. I think Bryson misses the cut and goes for the DeChambeau grand slam of MCs in the majors this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to go back and do one of those like hostage style YouTube videos like we saw him do a couple weeks ago. If he misses the cut again, I think he's going to miss the cut. Lynx golf right now just does not translate for Bryson. Got to be a great iron player. And right now, just not a great iron player.
He said, I've missed three straight cuts and here's why. That's like me on every tee. I've missed three straight cuts and I can't get this thing to turn over. We got one last one. A pick to win, Johnson Wagner. Who puts their name on the all-coveted claret jug?
I'm a sucker for a good story. Tommy Fleetwood, hometown boy. I want to see Tommy Fleetwood win his first major championship at home at Royal Birkdale. His game fits this golf course perfectly as well, so I don't think I'm going out on a limb there.
I'm going to say 13 straight years. Mm-hmm. First-time winner of the Open Championship continues. I'm going to go Victor Hovland has played well at this major championship, has found form as of late, driving it a boatload better than he did over the last year and a half. One of the better drivers in the field this past week. I think Victor Hovland gets his first major.
I got one limb shorter than you here, Wags. Scottie Scheffler, back-to-back years, the champion golfer of the year. I can't say no to 7.5-1. We might never see that number again on Scottie Scheffler. You'll see us again. If you had as much fun as we did, join us for the home stretch on Scorecard, coming to you on Paramount Plus, Saturdays and Sundays for the entirety of the FedEx Cup playoffs. From Memphis to the Lou and finally Atlanta, a big three of sorts. And coming up on CBS, it's Miami 305 and the Houston Rig Hands. With big three action going up in LA, that'll be followed by the CBS Evening News. The news from North Berwick, it's young Tom Kim with a renaissance of sorts. The 24-year-old, your winner in a faraway land. For Shane Bacon, Johnson Wagner, and Trevor Immelman, I'm Joe Musso saying so long to Scotland.